All right. Ready. 3, 4. Too slow or not. They were kind of difficult tunes, so I think I played them a little slower than I normally would. If you need me to pick up, and just remember everybody, it's hard for me to do this and read the chat and all that stuff, so You should have the list of tunes there and the names of the tunes, all that stuff.
We need to talk to you.
You need to talk to me?
Yeah, if you want, if we want to say something to, if you, if we want to get anything over to you, you, we need to do it through the microphone rather than through the chat.
That'd be fine. That'd be great.
I think that was great. That was a good speed for that because I had no clue what you were doing.
Right, right. And they're great tunes to add to your repertoire. So I think that's what part of this thing too is, you know, to do the tunes and then maybe learn some really good tunes as we move along and keep going. And then we'll come back to these tunes the way we came back to somebody else's. Hi, Claudine. How are you, honey? Steve and Robin in Australia. And Kay, my dear, how you doing? Valerie, good to see you. John Kay. Claire's iPhone. Ken Shaw, good to see you. Ooh, no, Betty, good to see you, Betty. Amy Otis, I think I got every Fawn. Good to see you. Fawn, you're in the dark. You're really dark.
I think I'm just backlit.
Yeah.
It's light in here.
Right, right. Carmel, how are you? Donnie. Ann Marshall, good to see you.
Hi, John. Suzanne,
I said hello to Suzanne already. All right. I don't want to miss anybody here. Brenda, good to see you. Trudy. Chuck, TR9. Is that like a TR7? I don't know. Or a TC3? Triumph. Oh, when I was a kid in England, boy, I wanted a Triumph so bad. All right. I don't want to get sidetracked here. Stop talking about cars, we'll be in trouble. All right. All right, let's go to jigs. What do I feel like playing now? So, let's do Larry O'Gaff's. So I learned this tune. I'm going to play the version that I learned. I actually learned it from Joe Cooley. And I was blessed enough, and it was very sad at the same time, unfortunately, but I was blessed enough to, Brendan Mulcair, my music teacher, set up a meeting in Ireland. And we happened to be over there on holiday, and we got to meet Joe Cooley about 3 months before he died. And it was amazing. And I have it on reel to reel. My father recorded it. So he recorded this tune, and I learned it. This is before the record his record came out with Desi Mulcair. And all right, so that's Larry O'Gaff's and the Whistler at the Wake, right? So I got this tune, I believe I got this tune, if I remember correctly, from a session that I went to with Liam O'Flynn and John Regan from Dublin, great box player, and Cathal McConnell were doing it. They did the very first Coltus tour in Britain, and it was the first time I heard this tune, The Whistler at the Wake. So we'll do those two. I think there's only two there, right?
John, there's a second tune in the middle of the tap room people are asking about.
All right, let me get my... the tap. So here, so I made him. So if you think about this, the tap is actually a reel, and I put the music here separately so that. So I inadvertently put the tap in between these by mistake. So we're not going to do the tap because it's a reel. So I have a hard enough time keeping up with everything when I'm playing jigs all together. So, but we will play the tap tonight because it's a really nice tune. So. In the meantime, we'll just do the two jigs. We'll leave out the middle one then. All right. I like about these two jigs is they actually don't need a lot of embellishment, you know. They don't really need a lot of variations and that kind of stuff, you know. You just play them as they are, and they're really, really good tunes to play as they are. So
John, I never realized till just now that Larry O'Gass is the same melody as a song I used to work on learning. It's called The Humors of Whiskey. And the melody is very similar.
Yep. I think it is actually, I saw that name too while I was doing my research. And I think, but I know it as I definitely know it as Larry O'Gaff.
Yeah. And it's not exactly the same, but it's pretty darn close.
That's right. A lovely tune regardless. That's a great tune.
It is a great tune, isn't it?
Yeah. It's got that lovely old quality to it.
Yeah. And you know, the way Joe starts it, this is exactly the way he started it in the session. Oh, now hang on a second. I've got to remember to see, I forget it already. Oh, yeah. And you know, if you listen to the record, he does exactly the same thing on the record. But I actually learned it before he did the recording. Or maybe it was they took it from a live recording. I think a lot of it was live. But anyway, it's just like, I love that. Anyway, so then I came across this Cronin's Rambles hornpipe. This was recorded. I think if I'm correct, this is on the banks of the Shannon. I could be wrong, but it's definitely recorded. I got it off a record. What a great tune! And then Sherlock's. So I don't know, I think we talked about this before. In Ireland in the 70s, if you went to Tralee, there was a thing called Shimsa, and it was put together by Father Pat, I can't think of his name now, last name, but anyway, Father Pat put together Shimsa. It was very successful in Tralee. People would come during the summer and watch this show, and there was kind of a little bit of a mixture of song and dance and singing, but told through story. And so they ended up, they started doing Shimsas all over the country. And so I went to a Shimsa in Wexford, and I met a bunch of the Wexford musicians when I was about 13. And so that's where I learned, I got it. They played it, this Sherlock's, that night in the Shimsa. And it was really a lovely. Another great melody too. So here we go. Hey, Karen. How are you? Karen's
Did
here.
Did I miss Sherlock's? Damn. Did I miss Sherlock's? Damn.
Are you on Vashon?
Yeah. Yeah. I just got.
You've been playing for an hour already. Where you been?
I've been chopping firewood. Feels great. That's what I heard.
What, you want to light a fire under me? Is that it?
No, I need one a little under me. Let's play music. What are we playing?
All right, we're doing. I just announced them there. Come on now. The Cronins and Sherlock's hornpipes. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Think of those, huh? Aren't they really nice?
They were lovely. Lovely.
They're gorgeous.
Really, very sweet tunes, you know?
Yeah. Beautiful pieces.
They are.
Hey, let's do the one slide I picked out for this week. I'm going through these tunes pretty fast. We might have to you know what? Let's come back. Let's go back to reels. Let's go back to the reels because otherwise we'll be doing reels like back to back for the last hour. Well, that I had an awful time to listen. So there was a couple of CDs that really I haven't listened to in a long time that really struck me last night. And that was I'm guessing they're the first two Sleeve Notes CDs. Beautiful, beautiful music. Really lovely. I think that's Donald on the box. But boy, it was lovely, lovely playing. And I don't do a lot of Schlieve Lucre stuff, you know, obviously. I'm not from that part of the country. You know, my family's from Wexford and Tip. But they played some really lovely reels and jigs, too. If you get a chance to look them up, Schlieve Notes is the name of the band. And I think Matt Kranich is in Schlieve Notes, I think. So anyway, so I came across so this is a slightly different version of the one I have, the Green Gowned Lass, and then Tommy Cohen's. You know what? I'm gonna leave that to last. I'm a little iffy on Tommy Cohen's. So let's go back to let's do Touch Me If You Dare. I dare ya. So there you go. Touch Me If You're There and the Dunmore Lassies. I was thinking about the name of that tune appealed to me because if you saw my post on Facebook, my mother passed away 14 years ago, the 30th of March, and I tell the story about my mother when I'm on tour, actually. It gives you an idea of what kind of a woman she was. She was from Tipperary. She was 5'2". And she was a big woman. But she was in the hospital. And when I got there, she was she had the the tube. And she hadn't spoken for 3 days. And I walked into the room, and when she heard my voice, she woke up. And so she spent that whole night, that night, pulling the tube out so she could talk to me the next morning. And apparently, from what I understand, it's very painful. But So anyway, here she is, and we're chatting away, and she's got the oxygen mask, and she keeps pulling it off to talk to me. And so I left the room for a few minutes. Apparently the doctor came in, and he was really upset with her, and he said, Mrs. Whelan, he said, if you take that mask off again, he says, I'm going to put the ventilator back in. I put the tube back in. And she looked right at him, and she said, I fucking dare you, she said. This was a week and a half before she died. A fiery woman to the end. Anyway, so. let's go. That's a great tune for dancing. I played that a lot for the sets. They got a great kind of bounce to it. All right. How we doing? We're doing all right? Tempo's good? Everything's good? I sound all right?
Absolutely perfect.
Okay.
I know a little. I know it a lot now. A lot now, thanks to that tempo.
Yvette, good to see you, honey.
Everything is great, John.
Thank you. You guys are too kind. I don't know what I'd do without you during this pandemic, I'll be honest with you. But thanks for being here.
Goes for us too. That music really helps. It helps
a ton. It certainly does.
I just wish I'd found your session a lot sooner.
What was that?
I just wish I had found your session a lot sooner in this pandemic.
Well, we're not done yet, so we'll keep it going as long as we can, Patrick. So
you will. Right.
So let's do this Scattery Island. It's a really simple slide. It's simple enough that I could play it. I've never played it before today. But I did play it a little bit, so I wouldn't mess it up too much. At least I hope I won't. It's very, very simple. Nice and easy, nice and relaxed. Somebody unmuted. Thank you. tune. Never played that tune before in my life. Never even heard it before. But you know, it's just such a simple. But you know, sometimes the simplest tunes are the best. That's what makes Irish music so great, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to. All right. Let's do the barn dances now. So I learned this first tune, Around the Fairy Fort, from Gene Freeman, fiddle player in Connecticut. And Gene did it with another tune. And in fact, I know we've played it before. I didn't have time to get the music, but I might do the other tune in between. You know this, Wesley, for sure. I forget the name of it off the top of my head, but we'll do that in between. So for those of you with the music, I apologize.
Is that the new broom, John? The new broom?
The new broom.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. So if you've collected all the music we've played, we've done this before. So these are, I believe, two Vincent Broderick tunes. And then I found this tune. I got it now. It took me a second. I'm not a great reader of music. Butchering the first part, but I'll give it a shove anyway. What the heck?
That's Costihan, isn't it?
It's called The Road to Glountain.
Okay, we call it Costihan.
Yeah.
Well, it was a Tehan tune.
Yeah, well, it came, I got this from that, I think I got it from the CD I just mentioned, Sleeve Notes. And I think that's what they called it.
Yeah.
The Road to Glountain. So, I figured they know better than I do. So anyway, so let's give it a... Bill, somebody's unmuted. You guys got to pay attention tonight.
It's fixed.
Huh? Who was it?
Problem fixed.
Okay. We'll be right back. Sorry, I went a little faster on the last one, but I had to. it was my salvation. I made it through, but by the third time through, I kind of got it.
Great key, eh?
I love that tune. That's a great tune.
It is a great tune. I'm sorry I butchered it at the beginning, but I think
this one is really great too. The Fairy Fort.
Oh yeah, the Fairy Fort. Yeah, and you know what? I just kept forgetting how it starts, because Jean put the first two together on her CD, and that's where I learned them. So I learned those two tunes together, but I could never remember how the bloody Fairy Fort started. So, all right, let's go back to reels. Why not? How are we doing for time? I have no idea what time it is.
1 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock Pacific. I put the master session info in the chat if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about all the help that we need for this weekend. Jared is here with us.
Oh my gosh! I have to tell you about this year's must have betting. Have you tried it yet?
Oops.
They're called code.
Who's that? That's funny.
That was Maggie.
Maggie.
Next person who unmutes without authorization buys the next round.
They get another accordion is what happens.
Yeah, right. And there you go. Give him a CC sharp. That really messed him up. Okay, so usually at this time of the week, we're doing reasonably okay. We're around 20, sometimes 25 people. We're at 12 people for this Saturday. So, look, you guys are amazing. A lot of you come to everything, and I really appreciate it. And I understand it's a lot of money. So I'm not trying to beg you guys to come if you can't come or whatever. What I am asking you is to please share the information. If you know somebody with a mailing list, an email list, get it on the email list. Let's just get the word out, because these young people deserve to be heard. Now, you've heard the girls, some of you heard the girls, they played over the weekend. But look, Tara Breen she's the rock star in Ireland right now. I mean, she's the youngest, she's happening. You know, you're not going to get much better fiddle playing, even though she's only a kid, than Tara Breen. I mean, she's phenomenal. Finn McGill is one of the most well-rounded fiddle players I know. I mean, with all the Irish stuff he does, but he does incredible Brazilian music. You know, he's married to a woman from Brazil, you know, and he's the oldest of the group. So he's still young, but, you know, I think something needs to happen. I posted something today because I was aggravated. I've had a bad couple of days, as you know, and it incenses me that, you know, maybe I just expect too much, but, I thought we'd have like 150, 200 people for Marade last weekend. And we had less people last weekend than we had for Kochlin. Yeah, not that Kochlin and her husband aren't worth it, but I'm just saying, it's like, you know, Marade's an iconic figure in traditional Irish music. And I know there's a lot of stuff online, but, you know, I mean, to get to hang out with these people and play music with them, to me is, you know, if I was young, I'd be at everything I could, you know. I mean, that's why my dad brought me to London 3 nights a week. It was a pain in the ass. It was a 40-mile drive, which doesn't seem like a lot, but in England, that 40 miles is a long way.
This is Fawn. I just want to say I heard Finn in Colorado in person, and he was phenomenal. And so I have a conflict, but if you can possibly do it, it's really worth it.
Well, we're going to do it regardless. I mean,
to the people that are listening.
Right.
He's great.
Thank you, Fawn. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm going to try and bring the best kind of music that I can during the pandemic. But I also want to bring people that I think deserve to be here and deserve your help. I mean, by coming, you're helping them, you know. Finn, you know, is a young guy, but they have a little baby, you know. So, I mean, anything that we can do for any of these people are great. So, you know, I mean, maybe, you know, Jared's not, doesn't have a kid, you know, he's only young, but you know what? He deserves encouragement. You know, he's here. You know, I don't know if he went away. I don't want to embarrass him, but you know, I've watched him grow up through going to Swannanoa, and the kid is amazing. I mean, he's an amazing fiddle player. If you put him on a Martin Hayes you hardly notice the difference. That's how good he is. I mean, and what is he? Jim, how old is Jared now?
I'm trying to.
He's
23. he's younger than both of my kids. You know, and so, you know, when I met Jared in Swannanoa, what, 5 years ago, whatever it was, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago now, and I asked him to play in the session, and, you know, you're just standing there with the fiddle being very polite, and so I saw him every year. Every year I went to Swannanoa, and we played music every year together. So I've got to encourage these young people, inspire them to, you know, we're going to need professional musicians down the road, and who knows what the heck is going to happen with traditional music in the future as far as gigs and that kind of stuff. It's never going to come back to the way it was, I can tell you that, you know. But anyway, I know I'm preaching to the converted, but if you can at least spread the words, I would really appreciate it. I'd like to get, you know, a bunch of people. So I think, what else is there, Michael? Is there anything else I need to mention?
Hey, John, I just noticed you're posting for that master session, and it doesn't have Tara Breen's name on it. I'm looking at Facebook, and...
It doesn't have whose?
Tara Breen. It doesn't have her name on it. It just has Andrew Finn, Shannon...
Oh, it does. You're looking at this. It's in several different places, so...
His website has it on it, because I not just... A, no,
I'm looking at
she's
Facebook.
Number one.
I know. I'm looking at Facebook on the Whalen Master Sessions post. So
she's got to be mentioned on there. I'll take a quick look at it right now.
Take a quick look at it.
We heard her several times in Ireland, and then it she's just brilliant. He's right about she's the hottest thing in Ireland. I mean, of course, there's tons of fiddlers, but really Tara Breen's well worth coming to the Master Session for, even if it's just her. That's my suggestion.
So you maybe look at, so we did a post today. So what we do, Maggie, just so you understand what we do, is we try to highlight the musicians at different days of the week.
Oh, okay.
So you're seeing the video ones that was posted today.
And, okay.
Right? So we're really highlighting Jared and Finn on today. Now, so tomorrow we'll probably have videos of Tara. So we what we're trying to do is to get the word out, but not swamp everybody all the time. And I'm gonna have Lisa do another email. So apologize, you got two emails from me today. Just ignore the fact that you got two emails today, okay? Mm-hmm. And she's gonna send out another email, and please open it, because MailChimp actually tells us if you open it, if you look at it, whatever. Not you personally, we're not that good. I can't say, oh, Maggie, you didn't open your email today. But what we do is it gives us, the email was opened today by 70% of the people. So that in itself actually isn't bad, but I would ask that you at least take a look and possibly share it if you can.
John, do you want to talk about... I was going to say, John, you want to talk about your accordion workshop on the 21st?
Yeah, I decided. So people have been asking me over a long period of time if I do an accordion workshop, master workshop. And so I'm going to do one on the 21st of March. I have some people signed up today already. And I know some of them, and I know they're not master accordion players, but it's nice that they want to sign up and be there and be part of it. So if you can spread the word around, that'd be great. I've been teaching a long time, so I don't know. I've taught about 15 All-Ireland champions over the last 40 years, so I don't think people share that knowledge very often. In fact, I have a piano accordion player coming to ask me. He sent me an email and asked me, and I taught Karen Tweed. I don't know if you're familiar with Karen Tweed, right? Karen Tweed was my student. She's a 5-time All-Ireland champion on the piano accordion. And I started teaching Karen when she was 13. So anyway, yeah, so I'm doing the workshop on the 21st. I think I'm doing it earlier, 12 o'clock Pacific time and 3 o'clock East Coast time. So it's because it's a Sunday, I figured I'd do it a little earlier. And it's kind of after the March Madness is over, so somewhat over, I guess. So, and Michael's still doing the email stuff with the slow session and the recordings and all that kind of stuff. So you want to mention more about that, Michael?
No, just I've put in the chat a few times that we record each of these sessions each week. And we make the recording available for a week until the next session. So I'll put the link in the chat again. Right now, we're just keeping. Some people are asking about getting access to older recordings. Right now, we're just doing 1 week at a time. And they are being archived and someday may be available in some other form, but right now it's just week to week, partially to reward the people that come here every week to get it for the following week. And then all the set lists going back to the very first one are there. So if you can, if you just bookmark that link, just go there the next morning after the session and you'll find the full recording for download there at the top of the set list for the previous night.
Right. And, so Michael and I have been talking. I think I mentioned this before, but I'll just throw it out there again. You know, it's a lot of work. And so I don't know if people realize how much work it is to you know, have the recording and to get them out if people want them. So we're talking about possibility of a minimal charge if people want recordings going back. And then if we make it open to the general public, I think... people that haven't been coming to this session certainly should have to pay for them. You know, we're not going to charge you if you come to this session. You'll get the recording no matter what. But for previous recordings and then future recordings for somebody who hasn't been here, I think that's a fair thing to charge them, and that will help cover some of the expenses and the work. You know. You know, I keep trying to encourage Michael, but he's been very generous so far. But at some point in time, the work's going to get too much for him to be generous. And you can only be generous to a point. And I've been a firm believer in my life that people need to get paid for their time to some degree, at least. And we're all musicians, so none of us are getting rich. But at least, you know, I feel, you know, I got that Irish guilt thing going on that he's doing all this. And he's not
well, John, we're not. We may not be getting rich financially, but we're certainly getting rich musically, listening to you play and having access to these recordings. So there's all kinds of payment, right?
Right. Well, and that's true too. But all right. So
what's in that, John? Punching.
What's that?
Is that punching?
Yeah. I'd be in trouble if I started drinking that stuff now. My God. All right.
I would agree with that getting rich. I got really inspired by you, John, when you showed up at a session in Milwaukee 20 years ago when I first started out.
I know, at the pizza place, right?
At the pizza place at Bolino's. Yep.
If you were never there, if you imagine, we had the music school at the week before the Milwaukee Irish Festival, and a lot of the students would head over to the pizza parlor because it was the only place around the campus that was open. And they were gracious enough to us. They had a big room, and they let us play, and there could have been 60 to 100 people in that room playing. It was absolutely amazing. And we've had some incredible sessions in there, and you imagine the lineup that they had at the Milwaukee Irish Festival. I mean, a lot of artists don't go to the sessions. You know, they do their gig and they go back to the hotel room. But there was a bunch that would come to the sessions. And we'd have sessions every night. So
I remember one of those sessions one night when we were playing and they were trying to close the place and we kept playing and playing and they finally turned off the lights and somebody said, I think they want us to quit.
Right. We've done that more than once. All right. Let me see you. All right, I'm going to avoid that one again for another. We'll do that last. So
I have a question for you, John.
Yes.
It's Debbie. I always wonder when you do your little do 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 that you just did.
Right.
You got to work that into a tune somewhere.
You know how long I've been doing that? And people tell me, they know it's me because I do that little thing almost every time before I start playing. It's it's a habit, you know. It's a, you know, when I think of Nadal when he's playing tennis and he's, you know, pulling the knickers from his arse and he's pulling his hair and he's doing all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, wow, geez, that's a really, you should get rid of that habit, you know. But I do the same thing with the box, but it's...
Yeah.
Pipers do the exact same thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, in my younger years playing Highland pipes, you could pretty much recognize, you're listening to recording or whatever, you could recognize who it is by their tuning phrase. Like, they play the same thing every single time.
Right.
I do it on the flute, you know, like...
And if you don't know Wesley's a phenomenal flute player. He's actually a really lovely box player, too. So, but, you know, he converted. We got him to convert C sharp D to BC.
Yeah. He got to the dark side, as they say.
Welcome to my world, pal. All right. So, so Denny O'Brien's. I think that goes first. I can't remember. Did I have that first? Yeah, Denny O'Brien's and The Drunken Landlady. So Denny O'Brien is the father, I believe, and because there's a bunch of O'Brien. So, but I do think Denny O'Brien is the father of Mick O'Brien, the piper. And I knew Denny and the family when we would go to Ireland for the Flaws, and we'd meet up, and we met several times on the street in Listowel, and Mick's brother was handicapped and in a wheelchair. I think he had cerebral palsy, but he could play the brilliant whistle. He was a brilliant whistle player. He's recorded, and so he would pull out the whistle, and we'd have a few tunes on the street in there. And then Mick and I actually did the Cultus tour of North America together in 1979, and he was one of the well-behaved guys, but brilliant, as we all know, brilliant piper. But Denny was a lovely man and good friends with my father, and so he wrote this tune, and it's a lovely tune. And then we do the Drunken Landlady. And then Denny's. Okay. We'll be right back.
Denny O'Brien was Patty O'Brien's dad.
Was it
from Tipperary? Well, yeah.
I think Mick O'Brien's father was also Denny O'Brien.
Okay.
So that's
Patty wrote that song for his dad, Denny.
He did write it?
Patty O'Brien.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patty O'Brien wrote it about in the late 40s or 50s.
Right.
For his dad.
Well, that's good to know. So, but anyway, it's still a nice story about the other Denny O'Brien.
Yeah.
And not equally nice family, but Eileen just posted some lovely photos, and I'm in a photo with Patty. I don't know if you guys have seen it. So back in 1972, if I could ever find it, I won't look right now, but I was on the front cover of the Troll magazine, the Cultus magazine. But in the back, in the very back, they had a picture of there was a dinner session, but it was at Eaton Square in London, the Irish Center in Eaton Square in London. About 40 musicians all around in a semicircle playing. Of course, Patty O'Brien and Seamus Connolly were the guests, so they were sitting side by side. But I happen to be over on the far left, on Paddy's left side, he's on the bass side of the room. Because I only knew a couple of tunes. I was only 12. But there's a great photo of everybody together, and you can see me looking at Paddy, and the way the page, the photo book, like, see my profile like this. And you see Paddy looking at me. It's a great photo. But then Eileen posted a photo of Seamus and Paddy together, and I'm talking to somebody. So I'm there with my hand like this, looking around. So you see the back side of my head. But that was a great night. My father recorded that night. I have everything on reel to reel. It's an amazing night of music. Absolutely amazing. So, all right.
And Eileen is a great player herself. She's
fantastic.
Lovely. Yeah. She's lovely to listen to.
And they're all, look, they're all such great, great people. You know, beautiful people. All right. So let's go back to jigs. Let's do the, now I think there's a different name for this, and I inadvertently forgot to write it down. So we've got Paddy Fahey's, and I'll play it for you now so you know which one. And then you got the Nova Scotia Reel. There's another name for this tune. You know, the session.org is really weird to find the exact names of these tunes, but I love this tune. So we go to the B flat. All right, and then the Nova Scotia one. Old tunes, you know. I played these tunes all the time as a kid, and nobody plays them, so then I can't remember the damn things. Then I have to look them up on the music like this. So that's the, I'd say if anything came out of this doing this slow session, this is the biggest part. I get to rekindle some of these tunes that I played for years and years and years. But so Paddy Fahey's and the Nova Scotia.
Thank you.
going to stop here because I want to play it the way it's written, because it's written without the B flat and it's written without the F naturals. And to me, I want you to hear the difference in how that tune sounds, because I just love it the way I just played it. Not because of me, but because I like those notes. So. Sounds so much different, doesn't it? I mean,
first time's way better.
It's what the first
way
time.
Better.
First
time. Your way is way better, John. To me.
Yeah. So I don't know. So sometimes you don't know if this is an error by the person to put it up on the session. But I don't remember hearing it that way written out. You know, the way it's written there. I don't remember hearing it that way. Before.
John, I play it the same way you do, and I've been playing that for a long time, like 20 years. So yeah. I've learned that version that you played first.
Yeah, that's the way I learned it. So I just wanted to get it out there just, you know, to make sure.
I'm pretty sure that Patty Fahey wrote it that way. Someone did a whole collection of his. She did a master's or something, and she interviewed him and wrote down a lot of his tunes from him playing them.
Who was that?
I can't remember a name. I've got it in my computer. I'll find it and mention it to you. But I'm pretty sure the way you first played it is the right way.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I don't think it was the wrong way. But the fact that it's written differently, I just wanted to clarify. Technically, it's probably not wrong, but just sound-wise, just so.
There are a lot of things on the session that aren't correct.
Yes, there are, and I'm learning that. So, all right, so let's go to the Nova Scotia. I gotta pay attention. I had the other tune in my head. Let's start again. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you.
So I did that a couple of different ways on the B part as well, because I remember that the ending, the first ending that I played, going back to the in the B part, that's how I remember it, but it's not written that way, so I did it both ways. So where the repeat on the B part is the same, and it doesn't go back to, it doesn't resolve to the G, little G section there. I don't know if anybody else has that experience with that tune, but I kind of like going back to the, to that, you know. I kind of like the way it resolves that way better, but I didn't write it, so I'm just going by kind of memory and how it's written here. But it's a great tune. It's probably, I find it hard to believe that it's called the Nova Scotia, but
that's one I'm going to have to learn, because that's where I'm from.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know what it existed. To be honest with you, Debbie, I don't think it's, I think somebody put that name on it. No offense or anything, but you know, if you want to think of it that way, it's okay too. All right. What am I looking for now? Did we do the slide yet? I only have the one slide. Yeah. Oh yeah, we did that already. We did the barn dances. Well, we're running out of tunes here. What was I thinking? I usually have more than enough. All right, so I've got one tune left, I think, in my list, and the tap room that we didn't do earlier.
No Harden Pipes.
Huh? Is there
no Harden Pipes?
You want another hornpipe?
No, I know, I don't mind. No, I'm only just saying something.
Oh, I love hornpipes.
Have we done any jigs?
We've got, oh, you know what? The old Grey Goose. Let's do
the tap room.
Yeah, let's do the tap room. And then so we do the tap room. Let's go. We'll make it simple. Let's go into Cooley's after the tap room. Okay. Thank you. And now we have one tune left, actually, that I almost forgot about. The Old Grey Goose. And I was crazy mad enough to actually play that bloody jig in the All Ireland Flocky Old under 16 to 18 category. I played the Old Grey Goose. I don't know what the heck I was thinking. I was absolutely insane playing a six-part tune like that, or five or six or whatever it is. Anyway. I will do it in honor of Joe Burke, because Joe Burke recorded this and did a great job on it, so. Thank you. There you go.
I think it's a great idea, John.
Great idea, yes.
Yeah. Wow. So would we then do the, because some people were talking to me that the 2 hours is a little too long for them for the session. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I sit at sessions for 6 to 7 hours. So I don't want to take from the session if the general consensus is that you don't want to take away from the 2 hours. But if it's not an issue, then we can make the first half hour a tune learning thing, and then, or pick a tune that we're going to do that day and work on it, and then start the session a half an hour later than we normally have been.
John, you want to take feedback on this over the next few days and see where things land?
Yeah, just I think the best thing to do is to each of you email me directly, and I'll get a census, and then I'll have, one, two, and three, or whatever, three options, or what, and I guess the majority rules, right? So that's, I think
there might be a plurality.
Yeah. But I think I'm actually going to leave it at that. If it's okay, we're a little early, but in all honesty, my right arm and shoulder and neck has been really, really bad today, and I've got a toilet to fix, so conserve some energy to fix the bathroom.
What happened to shoulder, John?
Oh, let me tell you, it's Jimmy. Look, I get up every day and it hurts. A different part of my body hurts every day. So, I know there's lots of people dealing with a lot worse things than me, but it just gets old sometimes. And then, with COVID, and then, the passing of my blood, it's just tough, emotionally. It's hard to keep your head in the game, to be honest.
You probably have the same thing I have happened, John, which is when you've injured something or you've got something that doesn't work right, it actually makes other things not work right.
Right.
So one thing just goes on to the next, and you think, does this ever freaking end?
Yeah.
No.
No, it only ends when you're dead, I guess.
Thank you very much, John.
For that same sentiment.
So listen, Patrick, I don't want to be, Patrick,